Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome. Welcome to an hour of mind power. This is Donna Sebo. We are having a challenge reaching our guests today, but this is an hour of mind power. So if we just move ahead, we are going to make this an open mic hour. So just know you're going to be able to call in and talk to me directly at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. I really find life so interesting because there are so many of us that are given challenges where we go, what do I do now? Have you ever had anybody say to you, punt, that's what you do now? Well, it was an interesting awareness that I had with that, and I had to learn those lessons sort of early in life. And I've often said to people, I think we're fortunate when life sort of smacks us up aside the head when we're younger, because it helps us to develop a resilience. Have you ever known anyone when they got older, they really had a tough time with shifts and changes if they were not especially challenged and had to learn how to adapt?
Marnie is with us.
Oh, she is. That's marvelous. Wonderful. We've got our guest. I'm thrilled. Hi, Lonnie.
Hi, Donna.
I'm so delighted that you're able to join us. That is absolutely marvelous.
So am I. Thank you for having me.
Now, your book, No One Has to Die Alone, was quite an interesting perspective to me. Because
how
you're
so?
Coming from an association of thought that says we're going to need to deal with things. We're going to need to face a reality that all of us are going to go through. We're going to experience it. And this morning I was doing a review of a mother's story about her teenage daughter who was killed. You yourself have been involved with working with people as a psychotherapist for over 25 years. You have done a lot of hospice work.
Yes.
You have seen multiple sides of this situation. Patient, the caregiver, the medical personnel, all of this. And this is very important to you. And I would imagine people, when they find out the kind of work you do, go, isn't that depressing? Doesn't it?
Yes, that's the first thing
really
they say.
Really overwhelm you. I couldn't stand that. I don't know how you can deal with this every single day.
Right.
How do you respond to that, Lonnie?
Actually, I say it's a sacred practice, and it's a service, and actually I feel like a midwife on the other end, and so privileged to be invited into perhaps the most intimate of people's life. And I really, it's what I'm here for, and I am most myself when I'm sitting at the bedside of someone who's dying.
I think that those words are so empowering. And the reason that I think that they are so empowering is because that is an attitude about the cycle of life and death.
Exactly. This is part of the whole.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to teach people that they don't have to be afraid of it and that they can lean into it as an opportunity to be of service and to share love perhaps for the last time.
You yourself had a near-death experience.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us when that happened to you and how it affected your thinking and your professional choice.
Uh-huh. I was almost 29 years old, and it was a regular visit to the dentist, and I went into anaphylactic shock from the nitrous oxide, the laughing gas.
Mm-hmm.
And I had what I didn't know at the time, because I had never spoken with anyone who'd had that experience. But I had the classic near-death experience where I went up into the corner of the room. I saw my body. I was not attached to my body. I had a fondness for it, but there was no anxiety, no fear, and no sense of time. And then the next thing I knew, I was in a tunnel, and my mother, who had been dead for 15 years, was there to greet me. And there was great healing in that moment, and or many moments when we were together, and I was able to speak with her telepathically and receive her messages. And then I went through this beautiful, beautiful tunnel toward a light. I was compelled. I had to go towards this light. And then the light, as I got closer to it, became bigger and brighter and wrapped around me almost like arms. And then I knew that, in fact, the light and I were one, and there was no separation. And I wanted to stay there forever. It was bliss and unconditional love beyond anything I've ever known. But I was told, in the same way that my mother communicated with me telepathically, and I received the words, "You must go back." And I yelled with everything in me, "No." And again, this lighted love said to me, "You have work to do. You must go back." And mm-hmm. I felt myself come back through the tunnel almost like I was in a blender. And then I was back in my body. And there was no brain damage or residual effects from this. And after that, my feeling was, it was not as disorienting as it was really disconcerting, because this is a very difficult place to be compared to there. So my feeling was, well, if I'm supposed to be back here, it better be darn good. It better be a good reason. And a couple months after that, I remember reading the newspaper, and there was a full-page article on hospice. And as I flipped the page to that article, the word "yes" came right off the page to me. And I knew instantly that that was the work that I was to do. And, of course, when I reflected, it made perfect sense, because I did come back without any anxiety or fear about death, and knowing many things from that experience, but that in death there is healing, and also that we all will see our loved ones again, that there is no fear and anxiety, and that we are loved and forgiven beyond anything we could conceive. So I came back and did start working in hospice after that, and took myself back to for graduate degrees and a PhD in psychology, specifically studying thanatology, which is the study of death and dying, and have worked with thousands of people through the dying process, and sat at the bedside of over 500 people as they died, and it has been the greatest privilege of my life.
Your story, I think, just dovetails with so many that I've heard that mm-hmm. have had these near-death experiences or the equivalent of this.
Mm-hmm.
They come back, individuals will come back with an awareness many times. There are those, a few that maybe don't, but there is in general an attitude that I've got a job to do. I'm
right,
here
but this
for
is
a
important
reason.
Time. This is a gift.
Mm-hmm. I have a
right.
job to do. Now, your
right.
book, No One Has to Die Alone, you're focusing on a perspective that people need to plan. And I thought, all right, this is...
Absolutely.
You know, this is a very interesting perspective, because most people don't even like discussing this. They feel if
right.
they start discussing it, and this is a subconscious situation, if they're discussing mm-hmm. it, that means that they may die. And
right.
it's a subconscious thing. Well, we're all going to die. That's a given.
Exactly.
Everything.
Most
I mean, that's,
most
those
people,
are the facts.
Most people
so now
say
what do we do
or think.
Here?
Yeah, most people say or think, if I die, instead of when I die.
Mm-hmm.
And, it is, we all will die. But the reason I take that perspective is because the statistics show that 90% of people, 90% of us, 90% of our loved ones will die from an age-related or an illness-related circumstance. And only 10% of us and our loved ones will die from a sudden, unexpected trauma or accident. And it's important to know that and to use that so so that we can think ahead and prepare for the end of our life so that we live right up to the last moment of our life. We are the authors of not only our life but our death, and we can reflect and decide what our values and our needs are, and then we can communicate that to our loved ones so that, and I believe that that's really a gift when we communicate who we are and what we need, because then our loved ones are not left guessing, second-guessing, mm-hmm. or even feeling regret that they didn't know what to do for us, when it is our responsibility to decide what we need and then ask for it.
Mm-hmm. And I think that there is actually something very healthy about that. I know there might be somebody listening to the show today saying, oh, my goodness, what a way to start the day, talking about death. And it's very morbid. No, it's not. It is a part of life. And sadly, when someone doesn't give their request, and if it's not honored, I think one of the things that's so disheartening is when people will, and it's sort of sad, when they try to force something on someone who is coming to the end of their life. Mm-hmm. And the person is dying, they know they're dying. And they're saying, well, you need to do this, you need to take 5,000 vitamin supplementations, you need to do that and the other thing. There is an awareness with people. When they're ready to go, they want to go. And culturally, I think we have sanitized so much of life. We've bought into things that just aren't real. Death isn't an enemy. It's just a part
of
life.
That's
and
right.
In our cultural environment, I would ask you a question. You're in Hawaii.
I am.
In the islands, there is the kahuna presence. There is a wisdom of, I'll call it, the ancestors of those islands that I think is absolutely lusciously rich with so much wisdom. Has this had an impact on you since you have chosen to live in this environment? Is this something that you've been able to incorporate and utilize some of their wisdom in your understanding and your work?
Well, I was born and raised here, so it has been just a second nature and natural part of my growing up. I will say that there is that here, and there's the Hawaiian culture is trying to bring a resurgence of that, but we still have a younger generation that is more tapped into the internet than to their ancestors. And that's a shame, because we lose a lot of resources, but we also lose a great deal of comfort when we don't access the wisdom of our ancestors. And even 100 years ago, across the country, not just Hawaii, but 100 years ago, people were much more comfortable with the culture of death. When someone was ill, we took care of them in our home. When they died, we brought them down to the parlor, and the women cleansed the body and dressed the body while the men were out in the workshop building the coffin. And so everyone participated, including children. And there was less anxiety and less secrecy around the whole reality of death. And I think we've all lost that. And we need to have more death education, certainly in medical schools, where if medical students are lucky, they only get 2 hours of a seminar on death and dying and grief. And we need to start in our younger, in preschool, in elementary schools, talking about death in the same way that we should be talking about sex education. It's a part of life. Let's use the proper vocabulary. Let's talk about what's really going on so that people don't pull away from it, they don't put it in the closet, and they live more fully and authentically.
The healthcare industry is growing at a rate that's utterly phenomenal, because we have literally millions of baby boomers who, unlike their previous generations and their family, are living, many of them, to be close to 100 years of age. And as they become older, they want to stay in their home. And there's a lot of facilities that have popped up, and people sometimes need to go into these facilities for care in the latter part of their life. But you say 90% of people who know that they are phasing out want to die in their own home.
Right.
And how would you encourage a family that is going through something? I mean, this is a reality. This is something you just talked about 100 years ago. People mm-hmm. would recognize things. It didn't mean they didn't have grief, but they realized they had to take care of certain things. And there weren't facilities for people to go to. People mm-hmm. did die at home more frequently.
Right.
But here we've got millions of people that are over the age of 60, again, the likelihood of them living to be close to 100 years of age or older is phenomenal because of the world that we occupy. The economic stress of that, what would you say to people? Say, if you have somebody that's in your family that's 75, 80, 90 years of age, here are some options you can work with. What would you tell people?
Well, I would tell people that the goal should not be the quantity of life, but the quality of life. And again, you say that people can live to be 100. What I see in my practice is that we don't extend life so often as we extend dying. And mm-hmm. people, if they have not made decisions about such things as, do I want artificial nutrition? Do I want hydration when my condition is irreversible? If we haven't made those decisions, we plug people in and we put them in the ICU where it's very difficult to touch our loved ones. We have to go through a tangle of machinery and noises and tubes. And the quality of life, we have to question the quality of life. So, but again, if people have not made those decisions, the institution will make them for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't met anyone who wants to extend their dying in that way.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With my counseling through the years, I've never found anybody that wanted to do that. In fact, many people that I've talked with, they have a will, and they said, don't do that to me.
But let me say, Donna, that it's not just having the will that is important. So you can have a written document, but if you have not sat down at your kitchen table and really discussed this and talked face-to-face with your loved ones who will be making that decision for you if you're in a coma or unable to make the decision for yourself, if you haven't talked it through and talked through the different scenarios, your wishes may not be honored. Because
that is
people
a very
at the end
point.
Of life are mm-hmm. afraid, and if you haven't gone through it and said, if I'm in a coma and it's irreversible, I don't want any hydration. Those are my wishes, and some of the language that I coach families with is, I'm not asking you to understand my decision. I am asking you to accept it, and that's very different. We understand with our head. We accept with our heart.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a very, very significant perceptiveness, that mm-hmm. the more we can share, the better it is. And I think many times, dependent on the relationship with the family or the friend, there is all kinds of stuff that runs through our head. But mm-hmm. I have known people that made a choice that it was time for them to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
That was something I felt was very important to honor. And I really appreciated the time with them and understood why they felt the way they did. And it's not held for me a negative, but that's because of my background and experience. And there's a lot of things that go on in life, and it's very hard sometimes for people to let go.
If business isn't finished, and mm-hmm. but again, we can do those things now. I mean, my goal is to live today as though I'm going to die tomorrow, and that's not a morbid thing at all. It's really about looking for all the gifts today, saying everything I want to say now, and not having this wild assumption that I'm going to be immortal.
Mm-hmm.
But we can live more fully if we are prepared for the end of our life.
I agree with that. Now, you have in your book a section that when you're dealing with various environments, with families and or particular individuals as they are going into the final period of their life, you say, don't make any assumptions.
Right.
And I found that interesting. You say, do not assume that the person that you're with is experiencing what you are going through, or that the individual needs what you think you might if you were in the same situation. Boy,
I think that's very important, because then it becomes your death or the caregiver's death instead of the individual who is dying.
Mm-hmm.
We need to stop making it about us. That's why I feel strongly that the person who's dying, they get this life, they get their death, and they get their vote.
Mm-hmm.
And if we are of service, if we really listen honestly, deeply, openly, we will pay attention to what they need, not what we need.
You talk about when you're with someone and they're close to the end of their life, that you should touch them, but to put a hand underneath that loved one's hand so
right.
that they have the control to remove their hand if they want.
Right.
Or to operate a control. And I thought, this is very perceptive. So many mm-hmm. of us will put our hands over the top of a person's hand.
Right, because we haven't thought about what the experience might be like for the person who's dying. And when someone is ill or vulnerable, fragile, and dying, they have lost so much control in their life. They've lost the control of their physical body, and certainly their environment, and oftentimes their role. And so as I work with someone who's dying, I want to give them back as much control as I can. And that they're little things that make a big difference. When I'm visiting someone who's dying, I ask whether I can enter the hospital room instead of just barging in. I
mm-hmm.
ask if I can sit with them. And I ask if I can hold their hand. And when I do, I put my hand underneath theirs, because then they have the control. So as much control as I can give back to the person, I find ways to do that,
mm-hmm.
to empower them.
And I think that, and that's one of the gifts, one of the many gifts that your book gives. It makes someone aware of how they can be in a harmonic, in an environment.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say of hospice,
yes.
or with a loved one maybe that they have at home that's passing away.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I
right.
think that is so much better. I really, really do. Because when you have an awareness that you can do certain things, and there are certain protocols you need to be prepared for, which you point out very well in your book, I really think it makes a great deal of difference. And you have a section in your book on how to say goodbye to someone, and how
mm-hmm.
to be with someone who's not responsive. Maybe they have Alzheimer's or they're in a coma. And I know for a fact people in a coma, they're aware of things.
Absolutely.
They know. They absolutely know what's going on. I don't care what any medical
mm-hmm.
professional might say. They know.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so when you're there and when you're with that person, you can talk to them. And and responding without fear, let's talk about that. Because one feels very vulnerable if you don't have the understanding, which you've acquired after many years of doing this work and having your near-death experience, that many times people are so frightened. How can
right.
you work
people,
with that?
People are frightened because they don't have information, which I hope this book will give them. They don't have experience, which I hope these stories will relieve them of that. But people are also afraid because what I hear from people, caregivers all the time is, I don't want to do the wrong thing or I don't want to say the wrong thing. And
mm-hmm.
what I really emphasize is that we're not asking you to do this perfectly. We are just asking that you participate, because the greatest healing factor, the thing that you can do that's the most important is to offer your presence. But it is the presence without fear or, you know, bringing that harmony that you're talking about, bringing a sense of what we want to do with our bodies, with our posture and our tone of voice and our language, is we want to communicate to our loved one that you still have value in this world. I see you for whom I have always loved, and I will not leave you, because that's the dying person's greatest fear, which is mm-hmm. the reason for the title of my book. The dying person's greatest fear is that they will be emotionally or physically abandoned at the end of their life. In other words, I'm afraid to be a burden because I'm afraid someone will give up on me, will leave me. I'm afraid that I'll be left because I'm ugly or decrepit or diseased. And we need to communicate with everything that we have that will be there right through the end.
You have a comment in your book that I think is very well stated. Treat your loved one as someone who is living with illness rather than dying from illness.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a big difference there in the thought processes. And I really like that statement.
Yeah, because so often I've heard from people that the minute they get a terminal diagnosis, people start treating them as though they're not here anymore, or they're not seen anymore, or they're not, they don't have a place in the world, they don't have any value. And if we, again, if we have less fear, if we've dealt with this inside of ourselves, we help our loved one to live right up to the last moment. What a service.
You also have a very good section in your book on grieving. And everyone will experience this at one time or another in their life, and we all respond in our own personal way to this. And I liked your commentary on rituals and keepsakes. And this material I was reviewing this morning with a woman who his teenage daughter was killed in an automobile accident. Just devastated her, absolutely devastated her. She was able, within 5 years, to be able to get over it. I have a very dear friend that it took her 12 years to be able to bring a semblance back into her life. Some people I've known, it's been a relatively short time compared with the ones that I've mentioned. But they often have a whole different perspective about life and death when they don't have this real intense, long-lasting grieving process. But you give such wonderful, wonderful comments and suggestions in here so that people can work through this. It's been my observation, we grieve because we are without something that was significant to us.
Right.
And we miss that.
We are no longer attached in the way that we used to be. And yes, grief is about us, and that there's nothing selfish or wrong about that.
Absolutely not.
But if we've loved, we will grieve.
Yeah, absolutely true.
Your
book addresses grieving with children. You go into a number of different factors. I think that your material offers to anyone, and this is not a morbid subject, it's a real subject, it offers to anyone understanding from someone that lives with us every day. I mean, you are interacting with people that are going through this process of seeing a member of their family dying. Maybe someone's been involved in a very serious medical situation or had a bad accident, and they're not going to have their life force for that much longer. You help them get through this. Your book goes a long way to assisting someone who may not be able to meet you or someone like you in person, and give them some tools that can help them empower their situation so that they can assist the one that they love, whether it's a friend, member of family, it doesn't make any difference, could be a perfect stranger, to empower their lives. And I think that's very important. Lonnie, what is your website people can go to for more information on this?
My website is www.drlanielearycom. So that's drlanielearycom. And I also blog for Psychology Today. And you can go to my column that's called No One Has to Be Alone. Those are two ways to contact me. And I also consult, and people can consult with me via Skype or telephone if you know, if they want some grief counseling or help at the end of their life. So they can contact me on my website. And I'm so happy to, I'm just happy to be with people however they need.
That is marvelous. Lonnie, you also in your book have notes and current research on after-death communication, which I think is significant,
yes,
too, because there are situations I'm aware of with many individuals. They see their loved ones before they pass. They talk
very
about
common
experiences. It is something in every culture that has been known.
Yes.
For those of you listening, the book is No One Has to Die Alone, Preparing for a Meaningful Death. It is not something that is depressing. It is something that we really need to be aware of. Her book is beautifully put together. Dr. Lonnie Leary, and Lonnie is L-A-N-I, Leary, L-E-A-R-Y. She also has written another book called Healing Hands that you might find interesting as well. Lonnie, it's been a delight having you as a guest. Aloha. I know that Hawaii is your heart spot, and it's a beautiful,
it
beautiful place, and I wish you nothing but continued success in a work.
Thank you, Donna. Lovely
needed
to talk with you.
This is Donna Sebo. We are taking a break. Check out Dr. Lonnie Leary, or Lonnie, L-A-N-I-L-E-A-R-Y, and doctor is dr.com, Dr. Lonnie Leary. We'll be back in just a moment.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedros accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Sebo, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com, to see more details. God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Hi, this is Donna. I am so glad my guest was able to get through to us. This is absolutely marvelous, and the subject is a very timely one. By the way, you are able to call in and chat with me, if you so desire, at 888-627-6008. That's 888-627-6008. And if you're a first-time listener, I'm so delighted that you've joined the Donna Sebo Show's listening family. And all I need from you, if you wanted to talk with me, is your first name or your initial. Of course, I love to know what part of the country or the world you are calling in from. So do give me a buzz if you'd like to chat with me during the next half hour, 888-627-6008. Quickly, for those of you in Western Washington and Alaska, I want to share some information. I'm going to be in Fairbanks, Alaska, from the 16th to the 18th, and then I'm going to be in Anchorage from the evening of the 18th through the 22nd. So I want you to know that I'm available for private appointments, and I know if you got a card from me, you would have thought that I had been on another planet when I put the information out, and you're correct. I just had too many schedules I was working with, and I put the wrong information down. But give me a call if you'd like to meet with me personally while I'm in those two wonderful locations in Alaska. My office number is 253 582-5604. And I do want to let those of you know, in Western Washington, my final class for the year, Quantum Mind 4, is going to be done by Robert Newman and myself. Robert is a feng shui master. He is also extremely knowledgeable about Chinese herbs and wellness. And so he's going to be teaching some of the secrets of longevity with Chinese medicine. I, in the second half of the program, will be working with you individually to help you develop your own intuitive skills, because we all have them, but they operate differently within all of us. So check it out. Go to my website and check out all the information on Quantum Mind 4. It's going to be on the 3rd of November, November the 3rd. That's a Saturday. It'll be from 10 until 4. This is a marvelous class, a great way to phase out this year to prepare you for the new year. I think you're going to find that it's going to be just absolutely delightful. We always have such a wonderful time. So give me a call if you want more information. Check out my website, DelphiInternational.com, for more details. And again, you can call me at 253-582-5604. We can only work with 25 people. It's in an environment, this is just very much one-on-one with what we do. So I hope you'll join us. 253-582-5604 is my office number. Give me a call. I wanted to share a thought with you. I had come across this, and I said, yes, this really, really hits the spot. And I was talking to you before our guest came on the air that so many times we have situations come up and we have to punt. And many times we just have to let things flow. We have to trust, we have to release, we have to let go. We might get criticized by others because we don't choose to wallow in or carry a lot of unnecessary mental, emotional, spiritual garbage. And I wanted to share, I know we've got a caller on the line, and caller, I'll be right with you. But I wanted to share this cute little poem. Nobody knows who the author was. And the poem reads as such: there's only one method of meeting life's tests. Just keep on a-striving and hope for the best. Don't give up the ship and quit in dismay, because hammers are thrown when you'd like a bouquet. This world would be tiresome. We'd all get the blues if all the folks in it just held the same views. So finish your work, show the best of your skill. Some folks won't like it, but other folks will. Thought I'd share that coupon with you. Okay, let's go to our first caller of the day. Welcome to the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling in from?
Hello, Donna. It's Pat in Connecticut. How are you?
Well, Pat in Connecticut, I am doing wonderfully, and I know that the leaves are turning in your home area, and it's probably gorgeous.
They're starting here, more up north a little bit, just starting here.
Wow.
I'm hoping
well,
it's going to be a beautiful
one. One of the most
one.
Beautiful states. I mean, it's just fall. It's just magical.
Mm-hmm.
It's just absolutely magical. Now, Pat, did you want to ask a direct question, or do you want me to give spontaneous? What would you prefer?
Well, I was hoping you had a message, but I'm concerned and confused. I have stopped my therapy. I'm starting a new therapy, EMDR, rapid eye movement, but I'm having doubts on whether I should continue with my other therapist. I'm going through a difficult time.
Well,
and I'm wondering,
I think any time you're working with someone as a therapist, there needs to be a sense of rhythm and harmony with whatever you do. And I think you need to trust yourself if you don't feel comfortable with it. If it is something that is creating in your mind's view and in your spiritual view, emotional view, a lack, then I want you to trust yourself. And the fact that you're trying something like rapid eye movements, that does create a different process in the brain. So when you're doing this, depending on how long it's been going on, give yourself some time. And ask yourself why it is that you're wanting to do this. What is it that you feel you need to overcome? And I think part of working with a therapist is understanding a good therapist wants you to come into the positioning of knowing your own balance. And they don't want you to go to them forever. They want you to be able to stand tall and firm as your own person. So there are some things that perhaps because of being with this new therapist, that something's coming up, something's being regurgitated that you need to face, that you need to look at. Don't be afraid of it. It's just something that you're going to work through. But I'd like for you to do some more research on this, not just take someone's word on the effectiveness of the therapy, but really do some studying about it. Google the information on it. What are the pluses? What are the minuses? And realize that you might, in your own way, be breaking through your own glass ceiling in a way and manner that is totally unknown to you. So I think you've got some homework to do here. And I think the homework is attainable and easily accomplished by you. And when I'm saying that, I don't think I've phrased it correctly. You need to know that you are waking up to an awareness of yourself, that you do not have to hang on to certain beliefs or perceptions, that you can release them, you can remove them, and replace them with something that is going to bring more harmony into your life. The reason I say this to you is because I am watching in my mind something that you have stayed with, a belief, something that you have accepted, feeling that this is something you need to carry through your entire life. And even though you're working to release it and have wanted to release it, it's got subliminal levels to it. So this is something I think you need to do some research on, to talk to some people perhaps that have gone through this. What were their positive experiences? What were the negative experiences? Don't be afraid to ask questions, because you're breaking through different levels of yourself. And that can be uncomfortable. That can be very uncomfortable. And I had a mentor many, many, many years ago who was so special to me. And she said, Donna, one of the things is if you have a habit, if you have a pattern in your life and you want to change that pattern, you always have to have something to replace the void when that particular pattern or belief system is removed. Because if you don't, there is a void that is left. It's just not getting rid of something. It is replacing it with something that you do want. And she said, if you don't do that, then you're automatically going to go back into the old patterning. And it took me many years to learn about that and to understand it. And I think that that's part of what you're going through at this time. So I think you're making a breakthrough, but there needs to be an awareness. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be concerned. You need to be alert. Am I making sense, Pat?
Yes, you are. I am reading about it. As far as research in that sense, I will talk to people if I meet anyone that's gone through this. It's interesting. My reaction as you're talking was a surprise. I feel like I do want to still stay with the old therapist. I'm wondering if I'm leaving her because I'm reacting and actually should stay and just kind of continue to work out, or just stay with her as I do this other therapy.
Well, I think you need to give it the opportunity. See, this is a part of a change with you. And this is something I think you'll be able to make a decision on within the next 2 to 3 days.
Okay.
I don't think this is something that's going to take weeks. I think you'll do it in 2 or 3 days. I need to take a break here, dear, for just a minute.
Thank you, Donna.
You're welcome, Pat. So glad you called in, and be good to yourself. Just realize this is part of a process.
Thank you.
You're welcome. This is Donna Sebo. If you'd like to call in and chat, 888-627-6008. Oh, and I've got a flourless chocolate cake recipe. If you're one of these people that doesn't want to deal with flour, I found this, and I'm going to say, wouldn't hurt to try it if you love chocolate. We'll be back in just a minute.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprosin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprosin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprosin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it.
Hi, this is Donna. Welcome back. Okay, if you've got that pad of paper and pen handy, oh, and by the way, the number to call in if you'd like to chat with me is 888-627-6008. I want to give you this recipe for a chocolate cake, and I want to say anytime you can have something, especially if you are on a gluten-free program or if you're wanting something that's tasty and yet you want to keep away from flour, let's say. This is a delightful recipe. It really is. And many times people, if they have members of family that are diabetic, they wonder, gee, what can I give someone? So they're not going to be negatively affected. So let me just share this with you. It is five egg whites you're going to need. You need 3.5 ounces of bittersweet baking chocolate, and you want to chop that up real fine. You need 3 tablespoons of unsweetened cocoa powder. You can use 1/2 cup of ground nuts. Now, if you like walnuts, use that. If you like almonds, use that, or hazelnuts, whatever your preference is. You need 1/2 cup of granulated sugar substitute, 1/2 cup of sour cream, 2 eggs beaten, 1/2 teaspoon of vanilla extract. You're going to need a little bit of cooking spray. And then for topping the cake, you might want to have some raspberries or strawberries. And, of course, in the freezer section of your grocery store, you're going to be able to find these. And they're wonderful. They're flash frozen and let them thaw at room temperature. And, oh, they're just going to be perfect on top of this. And then you might want to have a little bit of powdered sugar handy just to sprinkle over the cake when it's done. Now, if you decide when you test this that you don't like the sugar substitute and you don't have a problem with sugar, you can use regular sugar. So it's up to you. Try it out. Just try it once and see how you like it. Your oven needs to be preheated to 350 degrees. You need a 9-inch springform pan. Of course, you're going to spray that with your cooking spray. And your egg whites, those 5 egg whites, you want to whip them on high with your electric mixer until they're stiff and glossy, and of course they're going to form peaks when you do that. And your chocolate, you can microwave in 1 minute or 2 minutes and just stir it until it's smooth. And you put it in a mixing bowl, you stir in your cocoa, your nuts, your sugar substitute, or real sugar, whatever you prefer, sour cream, eggs and vanilla extract, then your whipped egg whites. You gently fold those in. You'll put your batter into the prepared springform pan and gently smooth the top. Bake it for about 30 minutes and let it cool. Then you're going to be able to naturally remove the side of the cake, the side of the pan around the cake. And the cake, you need to know, is going to deflate. You can, when it's cooled, and slice it, dust it with powdered sugar. And you can serve it when it's warm with your berries, if that's what you like. Or you can come up with another topping of your own choice. But this is flourless. And I think that for many people, that is significant. I have some friends that have developed gluten intolerance. And they're always looking for something there. So I wanted to share that with you. I wanted to let you know who is going to be on the air with me tomorrow. We have got a wonderful man, Mr. Greg Benurick, Triple Crown leader. The guest we had scheduled for that day had an emergency come up, had to cancel. So Greg is going to be on with us, and his story about leadership is really going to be very interesting. And Triple Crown Leadership is one of the best books I've read regarding working with integrity, how you can stand your own ground, be your own person, and if you're in business, these values do count. They really make a difference in business. Believe me, that I know firsthand. So I think you will enjoy him. And, of course, we've got a wonderful lineup of people next week. Don't forget, I am going to be in Alaska, and my broadcast will be coming from Alaska. And we will just be having a great time. But we've got all kinds of awesome people that are on the Donna Sebo Show. Their materials are excellent. And I know it's amazing how the library grows. But when you have so many wonderful people doing wonderful things, it's exceedingly important to be able to recognize them, I think. We get so much negative material that tells us how much life stinks and how this person's corrupt and that person is, you know, doing crummy things in life. And by the time you get through listening to all of this, your outlook on life is so limited. You're never going to have enough faith in yourself that you can make a difference, and you'll go about your day just feeling overwhelmed and depressed. So it's important that you always remember, have reading material around you that inspires you. If you like doing stuff on the web, look up websites and points of information, explore YouTube, but look at positive things. I heard something the other day that some research was done, and when people see pictures of puppies, or kitties, or babies of any kind, their moods improve. Of course, they're adorable. Why wouldn't your mood improve? So what you focus on makes a difference, and you can focus on the better things in life. Is life down sometimes? Absolutely. Can it get ugly? No question. But it's where you put your mind, what you think about, that affects your feelings and your responses. If you're feeling helpless, get involved with something, whether it's a martial arts class or doing anything that's going to make you feel more empowered. That is what education is all about. That is what being involved is all about. That's what volunteering is all about. Being a part of life so that you live life with quality and not with fear. Fear is one of the most destructive components in life. It can be a two-edged sword, really. It can inspire you and motivate you to move forward, or it can make you feel like you're a prisoner that never has a chance to escape the circumstances you're in. I want you to know that no matter where you are, no matter what you're experiencing, this is a new day. This is a day where you can take charge of your space. Remember always that you're the master of your fate. And you're the captain of your soul. Don't turn that over to anybody else. And if someone tries to slam dunk you today, give them a big smile and say, hey, I love you anyway. But I'm going to be aware of who I'm with, what I do, what I say, and how I choose to live my life. I don't give up my personal power. This is Donna Sebo. Talk to you tomorrow, same time, same place, and I'm so delighted you were able to join me. Have a magnificent day or evening, no matter where you are. This is Donna Sebo. God bless. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.